thanks very much for coming. This is more or less a report on the University of Alaska budget situation, what's developing in the House Finance Committee. On Monday and Tuesday of this week, university officials met with the House Finance Subcommittee on the university budget. This is a committee chaired by Representative Russ Meekins of Anchorage. Other members of the committee are Representative Brian Rogers of Fairbanks, Representative Ken Fanning of Fairbanks, Representative Joe Montgomery and Terry Martin of Anchorage and Eagle River, respectively. The subcommittee is essentially a supportive group who is trying to make a case with the overall House Finance Subcommittee, which has indicated its desire to bring a budget, a state budget, in about $300 million under the governor's recommendations. So our general thrust was to attempt to provide them with some information that they might make their case with Representative Adams and other members of the committee. Some of the facts that we have presented them, and we've passed out some handouts to you that reflect these, according to a fall article in the Chronicle of Higher Education, Alaska's support of higher education ranks 50th as a percentage of state budget. We are last in the nation to that extent. Approximately 7.1%. This runs as high as a percentage of state budget to about 36% in the state of Texas, which is the highest in the nation. Second pattern and trend that seems to be occurring is that the financial growth of other state agencies from the period of time of fiscal 1978 through fiscal year 1982 has outdistanced at a far greater extent the financial growth of the University of Alaska system, and there's a chart there which also reflects that particular piece of information. As an actual percentage of state budget, the University of Alaska system has decreased from 10.9% in fiscal year 1980 to 7.1% in fiscal year 1982. Thus, by all measures that we use, we appear to be losing some ground in the state. A fourth item that is occurring is the Alaska Student Loan Program. This is very popular, as you know, with state legislators, and recently, within the past week or two, they appropriated an additional $7 million to pull this program out of the hole. The interesting thing that occurs, while we do not know the exact relationship, we do know that providing students with the financial opportunity to attend a university or a college has a positive growth enrollment impact throughout the University of Alaska system. For instance, last year, the Alaska Student Loan Program at the University of Alaska Fairbanks financed 1,000 students. This year, the Alaska Student Loan Program is financing 1,700 students. The life of me, I cannot quite understand how we can provide students with a financial opportunity to attend college and then not provide the colleges and universities with the necessary dollar growth to absorb the impact of increased enrollments. The financial improvements in the student loan program really have to go hand in hand with the financial growth of the university system. We're beginning to see a situation where we're having to close out a number of courses because we no longer have the funds to offer them. For the most part, we've been able to confine that to electives at the present time, but both in fall and spring, a number of sections were canceled throughout the university here. The entire system has had an enrollment growth of about 10% per year for the last 3 years, and this same pattern has existed at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and continues to provide more and more students. The introductory sociology, psychology, and a couple of other social science sections are currently averaging over 100 students per section, and we're getting to the point where we're beginning to critically endanger the quality of the programs. Finally, I suppose the last major piece of information, you'll find another sheet there that compares the growth of the State Department of Education, the K-12 portion of the system, to the University of Alaska higher education system. Again, you'll find that primarily because of the foundation formula approach to funding K-12, they're able to keep up with their percentage enrollment growth. Formula funding is not used for the University of Alaska system, nor do I necessarily advocate that it should be, but we frequently have a reverse pattern occurring. The University of Alaska Fairbanks for some time has been very heavily dependent upon, and perhaps overly so, upon federal financial resources in both teaching and public service and research. We are, as a result of certain federal budget reductions, beginning to see a diminishment in a number of areas. The Teacher Corps and Title VII programs of the federal government have been defunded by the Reagan administration, and therefore our cross-cultural education program is in jeopardy to the extent of a loss of approximately $250,000, which may result in the closing of two of our rural sites. Additionally, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has reduced monies available to local public radio and TV stations, which probably doesn't chagrin many of you here, but but in any event, that total looks to be about approximately $170,000, and that will cut down on some local production that KUAC does. The Geophysical Institute and the Institute for Marine Science are perhaps the two areas of the university that have brought national and international recognition to the system. They expect to experience some severe financial diminishment also as a result of the federal cutback. It's interesting. Quality of those two programs is better known nationally and internationally, unfortunately, than it is in the state of Alaska. During my first couple of weeks here, as I got around the West Ridge and happened to chat with students here and there, I'd find different people who've come from different places across the country, question why they were here. You know, and I received responses such as, well, I was at the University of Colorado, and my major professor said for studying this particular area, I should go to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. That's one of the best programs in the country. And again, I want to stress that I think we have a real need to try to maintain that degree of excellence in those programs. They assist us as a university in becoming a great university, which I think we might ultimately do. The ratio of federal support of state to federal support in those particular programs is about 1-4. 20% of the effort is funded by the state, 80% of the effort is funded by the federal government. The unfortunate part about that is if the, in terms of the federal sources, if we cannot meet a federal or international, a national or international need, we cannot, but we will not receive the federal sources, and frequently, our people are restricted to the types of grants that prevent them from doing some of the basic state research that needs to be done. For instance, permafrost is becoming more and more viewed as a state problem rather than a national problem, and yet it is a continuing state problem that we're going to need further assistance on. Glaciology research, protein from the sea. These are a lot of the items that are going on in geosciences and marine sciences for which we have received federal support. We anticipate losing about $2 million in those particular programs in FY83. A couple of other interesting trends beginning to show up in Washington, D.C. One is the fact that as a result of the settlement and final clearing up of the Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act, a lot of land has transferred from federal hands to state and private hands. So therefore, where the federal government formerly felt some responsibility for research, it no longer does. They tend to believe that's more and more of a state situation. Additionally, they feel that many of the items that I mentioned, such as permafrost, glaciology, are indeed state problems and should be supported by the state rather than the federal government. And finally, as you probably know, in a lot of areas, Alaska continues to have the image of being a particularly wealthy state, at least in national eyes, and so we're also seeing that reason being proffered to us as a loss of some of our resources. The governor has recommended $2.5 million in new growth for the University of Alaska system. None of that $2.5 million is earmarked for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So essentially, we're being held in the governor's recommendation at approximately the same level as we are this year. yet we also anticipate the loss of about $2.5 million in federal funds. So therefore, if you want to equate that, it appears that we will have some reduction of our services next year than we currently have now. The House, if it cuts into that picture any further, can do severe damage to the University of Alaska system, and we hope to be able to prevail and hope that some of our figures will sway people. Thank you. Pardon? Oh, sure. I thought that was automatic. Go ahead. The figures are figures that we are using system-wide and that we have presented to the House Finance Subcommittee. I wouldn't say it's part of an orchestrated campaign. I'm certainly acting relatively independently here for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I do think that all of us have a concern that the message does get out to the public. You know, I really would not presume to suggest what the public ought to do with it, but I think they ought to be aware of the information.
This week, in fact, there's a story that the Department of Labor is being cut back more. Mm-hmm. The federal funds are layoffs in job service.
Right.
That the native schools, which were currently run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, are going to be transferred to the state defense one out of that. This is not the only agency or bureaucracy that is suffering federal cutbacks. What's the special claim to state funding in an educational system?
Okay. Just comparatively with the Department of Labor, for instance, that most of those cutbacks are generally in the CETA program, the Comprehensive Employment Training Act, and jobs that had been provided through that sector. And I think that's been a policy shift of the Reagan administration to transfer more of that to the private sector than has been exist in the public sector.
It was actually counselors, the people who find jobs for job seekers, not CETA.
Okay, I was not aware of that. I think our claim, in terms of higher education at least, is that the state seems to be encouraging students to go to college and university by providing more and more availability of funds through the Alaska Student Loan Program. At the same time, then, it's tightening up on the number of slots available to students in colleges and universities. So our growth continues in that particular area. I'm not sure that that is true throughout the rest of the state government bureaucracy. Some of those can be held in check. That's not so, I think, in education. The students just keep coming to the doors. That would be the major difference from the rest of the state that I would see. Scott.
Do you have any position on why the legislature is acting so perniciously toward the university?
I don't want anyone to feel that it's my opinion that the legislature is acting perniciously toward the university. And I hope I did not imply that. I'm not sure that I even think that Governor Hammond is acting perniciously. I don't feel that this particular governor has been an active supporter of higher education in the state of Alaska. I guess I will say that. You know, if you just compare the other state agencies to the higher education system, certain state agencies have had a growth over that same period of time that one of those charts shows about 212%. If there is room, perhaps it exists more in those agencies, I guess is what we're saying, than it does in the higher ed sector. We think over the last few years that we've taken our share of the reductions. But again, I don't know that it's pernicious on anyone's part. I think we're partially still recovering from some of the sins of the past of 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. We've just begun to address even the process for addressing that, so I don't know I couldn't say today what they would be here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I think it would depend upon a number of things. You know, what is the percentage reduction that the House might apply to the university? We don't have that figure yet from the House Finance Committee. Then I think the system has to begin to address how it's going to distribute such a reduction across the system. Once that would occur, then we're going to have to address here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks by going through the assembly process and the planning and budgeting process where and how we ought to take that out. Scott.
How much the governor was going to recommend for the university, and yet suddenly this has all come to a head. Why haven't you done anything, public relations, something for this?
First of all, the governor's recommendation did slightly catch the system by surprise. About 2 months ago, the figure being talked about in terms of governor's recommendation was approximately $3 million of new growth. Excluding Chukchi Community College. The governor recommended $1.5 million of new growth, excluding Chukchi Community College. Add another $750,000 for that, and it came up to $2.25 million. So that was a slight surprise. You know, admittedly, that number difference is relatively small. I don't think that's the surprise. I think the surprise is the attitude of the House Finance Committee. Further reductions below governor's budget. And that's happened just within the past couple of weeks.
Do you think Fairbanks is suffering because the rest of the system is being brought up to accreditation standards or more emphasis being put in Anchorage?
Depends, I suppose, on how we would define suffering. If the dollars available to the system are finite and some places are viewed to be less developed than others, evidently, the dollars will go into those that are viewed to be less developed. In most all circles, the University of Alaska Fairbanks is not viewed as being the least developed portion of the system. And so if dollars are finite, you can expect a higher proportion probably to go to Anchorage and Juneau and those other underdeveloped places than the University of Alaska Fairbanks. If that's what you would mean by suffering, we can also sustain to some extent a lower percentage of growth, I think, because of some development. But I don't think we can continue to sustain for very long a standstill posture.
Been bills introduced to start law schools, medical schools, all sorts of schools down
right.
In Anchorage. Do you think any of those will come to pass? And if they do, what bearings that have on Fairbanks campus?
Probably no bearing on the Fairbanks campus. Neither of those programs are offered anywhere throughout the system at the present time. We will provide you ample financial means to go to college, and does that very enthusiastically. You know, they didn't want to leave any student stranded for lack of funds. And then doesn't provide adequate funds for adequate sections at the various universities in Alaska, and talks about reductions to the University of Alaska system. On the one hand, it is encouraging students to go to school and X percentage share come to Alaskan institutions, and on the other hand, diminishing the capability of the institutions to deal with those students. And so we seem to be crossing in midstream on that. Sure. As it pertains to the House or the governor, or both?
Both.
I want to reiterate, I don't think that in terms of, say, the overall Hammond budget this year, that the university is being singled out any more than any other state agency. And again, I don't want to leave that impression. Nor do I think at the present time, in terms of the House Finance Committee action, that it has even decided how it wishes yet to deal with a $300 million reduction of the state budget. So I don't think the university has been singled out in either of those two cases. I guess rather than singling it out for diminishment, if you look at it over a period of years, for whatever reason, the University of Alaska system has not kept pace with other state agencies. So by that, I would infer that the Hammett administration has not seen fit to support it to quite the same extent as it has other portions of the bureaucracy. But I'm not sure that it's been a singling out, per se, as it might be benign neglect. It depends on the areas that you're talking about. Of course, here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, approximately 40% of our budget, overall budget, we're about a $100 million a year operation, comes from the federal government. Now, most of this is in the area of research. However, there is teaching programs, public service programs, so certainly federal resources. We do have about $5 million, I would say, that comes from private sources, and again, most of that's in the area of research. The private sector is certainly one area. The system has been asking the foundation to take a more active role, the University of Alaska Foundation, in attempting to generate funds from private sources. I think the question from the federal standpoint will be, you know, they will not take what they consider to be a state responsibility. And if a state institution is going to operate and meet state needs, they expect that the state would finance that rather than the federal government.
Just so I make sure I got this right, you're anticipating under the current $2.5 million
reduction, actual reduction. That probably it will amount to more. First of all, let me say it's not formula, okay, because it doesn't fully work that way. And you'd almost have to go into area by area. The Teacher Corps program has been defunded by the Reagan administration. There will be no funds available to it. The Title VII Bilingual Education Act has been defunded by the federal government for FY83. That amounts to about $261,000 that the University of Alaska Fairbanks has received from those two programs. So those are complete reductions. On the other hand, you have KUAC, which receives station money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They took a percentage reduction, which they will pass along to the local stations. And our best estimate at the present time, combined radio and TV, is about 160, 170. The research thing is a lot fuzzier in many ways, and I think part of our thrust here is that a lot of the research in permafrost, glaciology, sea ice, sea protein has benefit for state policy, harbors, how we're going to transport a variety of things in this area, and we should be seeking to improve our 20% state support of that activity to some degree, and that's approximately $2 million that we expect there. We did last summer in our budget preparation process assess those programs that we anticipated having a federal loss on that we did not think we ought to necessarily continue. And so they were already dropped. I don't know exactly how much that would be. But I think our overall loss for FY83 would exceed $2.5 million, but we don't think it's necessary to replace all of it. Okay, thank you.